Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. According to the enlightened mystic Osho, each of us comes into this world with a specific destiny. We all have something to fulfill, some message that has to be delivered, some work that has to be completed. You are not here accidentally. You are here meaningfully. There is a purpose behind you, and the whole intends to do something through you. In 1979, while traveling in India, Chetan Parkin was told by a psychic to get ready to introduce thousands of people all over the world to a system that would greatly improve their lives. A 29-year-old mechanical engineer at the time, Chetan had no idea what that meant. 14 years later, after spending several years meditating with Osho, Chetan's life changed when he began studying with a teacher who was organizing classes to introduce a new system into the United States called Human Design. Today, Chetan Parkin is one of the world's foremost experts on and most successful practitioners of human design. He's also produced a trilogy of books on the subject, including the newly released Book of Destinies, Discover the Life You Were Born to Live, which offers readers the opportunity to use the place, date, and time of their birth to reveal their life theme. Chetan Parkin joins us today to explain how and why knowing and accepting your human design and your life theme can reveal what the whole intended to do through you. Chetan Parkin, welcome.
Thank you, Sandy. Lovely to hear you.
You too, Chetan. Welcome to the show. So for those who have no knowledge of human design, tell us briefly what it is and how it came about.
I'll try and be as brief as I can with this, Sandy. The human design, you know, everything in the universe works by design. And it would seem ridiculous if we humans didn't have a design for our life as well. At least some means of knowing how our life is shaped and what to do about it. So human design was a system that was, I'm going to use the word downloaded. One could use the word channeled, but it wasn't. It wasn't a channel system. It was a download, in that the person who received the system was not allowed to kind of turn it off. And he was given this system in a period of 8 days and nights continuously. And let's just say anybody that's kept up for 8 days and nights downloading something or other that is of a very, very high intelligence is going to have some concerns afterwards for their health. The person who brought the system, who was given the system, his name was Ra, and he basically received the system from a source of intelligence that he said was something way beyond his own. And this is, we're talking about somebody with a 160 IQ, very, very high IQ. And he said the entity or the source that gave him this knowledge made him feel like he was an ant, that it was just so intensely powerful. So at the end of the 8 days and nights, he found himself with his system but no instruction book. And so he spent the next several years trying to work out what it all meant and how to introduce it to people on a practical level. I heard about it, I was living on Maui at the time in Hawaii, and I heard it when a friend of mine sent me a chart, and I took one look at this chart, and I knew right away this was the system I'd been told about. And then traveled twice a year, every year, whenever Ra came over to teach the system, and traveled to the mainland to New Mexico where he was teaching the classes, and studied with him. So human design, basically, I'd have to say, it's a 21st century device. Those that are familiar with divination processes will know about the I Ching and the Kabbalah and the chakra system, and they'll know about astrology. And there's many, many different esoteric systems. But human design is a system that combines many of these systems. It synthesizes them. My example of this is when you're going to bake a cake, you have all kinds of different ingredients. And you put all those different ingredients together, you mix them up, and at a certain temperature you put it into the oven, and the oven bakes it. And when the cake comes out, it's no longer the ingredients that went into it. It's a new entity of its own. And it's the same thing with human design. It's a combination of ancient wisdom traditions, astrology, the I Ching, the Kabbalah, and the chakra system. And it's combined with two very modern-day sciences, an understanding of neutrino physics, and the genetic setup for the human makeup, for the human model. So without having to go into all the details of all these little bits and pieces that went into the cake mix, we come up with a system, human design, that is an entity of its own. And as I say, it's a 21st century device. It's here to help us grow in our consciousness. And I would just say, without exception, because I've looked at just about every esoteric ancient wisdom tradition I could find, I would say without exception, it is an essential device for these times, for these 21st century times.
Why would you say it's essential? Why do we need it?
If we go back, well, yes. You know, if we go back 20 years before we had iPhones and stuff, and, you know, you go back 30 years when we were just starting faxes and things like that and emails, you know, there was a very different thing going on. Everything was written out on paper or, you know, we'd use dial-up telephones and stuff, and everything has changed. And that is just one example of things that has changed. The level of communication in the world is dramatically different if one can text rather than talk. And so the whole world has completely reinvented itself in a very, very short space of time. So if we're looking back 20, 30 years ago, there were certain rule systems and certain understandings about life, and that was just how things were. Well, if we look at things now, we see the whole picture's changed, and we're bombarded by all kinds of different things, the latest, greatest, what are we supposed to do with it? You know, is this something that involves me? Do I have to know about this stuff? Do I just, you know, surrender to my computer and to Google and find out everything about the world and Facebook and Instagram and all these things? How do I know what's relevant for me? You know, before these things were never part of my life concern. So the beautiful thing about human design is it not only puts you on the map in your own life, it tells you exactly the life that you gave yourself as a soul agreement, if you can use those terms. But it also shows you how to interact in your life in a way that serves you in the best possible fashion. So that's why I say it's an essential device, because the rules of life have changed, and it's essential that we all know who we are and what we're about.
You say there's a psychological benefit to the system. You know, can you expand on that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I think all of us get flummoxed one time or another. We all get in situations where, you know, we don't know what to do, where the situations surrounding us are kind of beyond our understanding. And if we're trying to reckon with these situations according to traditional ideas or what other people have told us or what we've referred to in, you know, in books or understandings about life that other people have had, then we're always going to be left kind of half comforted in how we're dealing with these situations. The beautiful thing about human design is it's all about you. It's all about what your life journey is. It's you and the universe. You and God, if you want it like that. It's basically your place in consciousness in the whole scheme of events here. So if you understand how your design works, then you're equipped to deal with any situation, any confrontation that comes in front of you on your terms, as a perfect representation of consciousness in human form. So if you're aware of these things and you're really clued into how your life works for you, let's just say for simplicity, let's call the human design an operator's manual. If you understand the operator's manual for your life, then as I say, you're equipped to deal with anything that confronts you, whether that be work situations, financial situations, relationship situations, dramas and disasters. You are equipped on your own behalf to deal with these things.
Would you say that it's more like the astrology for the soul or of the soul, as opposed to, you know, traditional astrology, which I tend to think of as a blueprint for this particular incarnation?
You know, I would not want to put human design in any way in competition with astrology. Astrology, through a very competent and capable astrologer, is something brilliant. But what I would say is, in human design, it's possible to access parts of your nature that astrology, or let's just say an extraordinarily well-qualified astrologer, would be able to comment on. It just approaches life from a different direction, that's all. So, yes, it could be astrology for the soul, instead. Some people have compared it in that way, because the thing is, you know, we come into this world, and we come in as a perfect being, and we arrive in a situation where all of a sudden, you know, we are put in a particular family. There's a certain kind of genetic imprint in us from our ancestry through that family. The family has certain customs and pastimes. Maybe it has a religion. Maybe it has a neighborhood and certain friends that come in and out of the life. And right away from the very beginning, we get influenced in all kinds of different ways in life. And, you know, then we go to school, and typically in school we get taught about everybody else's way of doing stuff. So the beautiful thing about human design is it takes you right to that instance of what you gave yourself before you were born. It really is in tune with your soul essence. And it can show you very, very quickly what that connection is all about. So, yes, I would agree with that on some level, Sandy.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with human design expert Chetan Parkin about his latest work, The Book of Destinies, Discover the Life You Were Born to Live. After the break, how and why knowing your life theme can transform your life.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Chetan Parkin, The Book of Destinies is the culminating title in a trilogy of books on human design that you've been writing over the last several years. But this particular one took you 20 years to write. Why?
It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, Sandy? 20 years to write a book. goodness, you know... it's almost like the only thing I can compare it to is if I had written this book in a year, you know, and sent it out 20 years ago, it would have been a very poor book. It would have said certain things. People would have understood certain things about it. But it actually needed that time to mature. It needed myself and Carola, because we're co-authors on this, my beloved wife and partner, Carola Eastwood. We basically recognized what was involved to be able to write up this book. You know, there's actually 192 life themes in this book. There's 112 altogether, but there's a certain number of them have variations on a theme. So altogether, it's 192 different life themes. And all of us choose one for our lifetime. And, you know, the simplest way of saying it is, you know, what's the sunbeam that you came in on? How did you arrive up here? What was the flavor of life that you were preparing to give yourself? It's a little bit like, you know, the theme music in a movie. It's the thing that stays with you throughout your life. It's the central theme of your life, if you will. So over the years, since I started looking at this project 20 years ago, I've read for many thousands of people all over the world in all kinds of different life situations, adults, children, youth, all kinds of people. And in the readings, I've been able to distill quite a bit of the understanding of what their life theme means to them, what their life was all about. So that was one part of it. There's another part of it that's directly related to the quarters in the sky around us. You know, each of the star fields around us have very different energies. And so it was a case of tuning in with those. And the specific guide of that is the I Ching, because the I Ching has these very particular flavors about them, and it does reflect our genetic makeup. So it was a case of tuning into all of this and tuning into the readings I did for people, tuning into the stories that I saw, watching how people lived their lives out and what it all meant to them. And also many, many days and hours and weeks of meditation and looking deeply into things. And just every now and again getting very profound insights about particular aspects of these themes. So it's just been a wonderful thing for us after these 20 years to suddenly find ourselves with a book that we feel is complete and which is ready to go out to the world. And I'm just delighted to say it's the people that have been receiving it and reviewing it are just thrilled about it.
Now, some of these themes seem to be listed as personal life themes, some are fixed life themes, and some are interpersonal themes. So what's the difference?
Well, there is a difference, Sandy, yes. The majority of us have what we call personal life themes. And a personal life theme, as it sounds, it's about us exploring our life. It's us at play in our world and finding out how the world plays with us. So it's almost like a personal exploration. We have a lot of interactions with other people. We find out, you know, what these interactions involve. We don't necessarily know what the repercussions of our interactions are. We can't necessarily see too far down the road. We can't see how necessarily we're affecting other people with our personal incarnation, with our personal life theme. So, you know, that's a kind of broad brushstroke image of a personal life theme. It's very much about a personal journey, a personal exploration. There are very, very few people who have what we call a fixed life theme. And there are 64 of these fixed life themes. And to get one of these life themes, you're born in a space of about somewhere between 2 and 3 hours within the year. So as you can tell, you know, a fixed life theme, it's going to show up very rarely. And what I say about the fixed life theme is it is somebody who is holding one of the very specific characteristics of what it is to be human. And I have to say, from my point of view, I'm always thrilled when I meet somebody that has one of these personal life themes, because it gives me a very, very deep insight to what life is all about and what are these 64 different attributes within the human genetic makeup and how they live it out. So they're called fixed life themes because they basically hold that frequency, that particular aspect of the human condition. And of course, they live a very, very full life. But within that life, they are consistently holding this particular pattern. And then we have those that have the interpersonal life theme. Sorry, go ahead, Sandy.
No, I was just going to ask you, tell me about the interpersonal.
Well, yes, the interpersonal life themes are people that, I'm going to say, are generally called on to be a little bit more responsible than the personal life themes. I won't say their job is to clean up after everybody, but they always have that aspect of kind of overseeing and feeling like they need to be responsible, they need to look out for other people, that they can kind of see over the hedge in a sense, they can see over other people's heads to see, all right, these things are going on, we need to watch out for these things, we need to perhaps guide or assist or, you know, help people out of situations. So very often people with the interpersonal life themes find themselves in that role. Of course, the note of caution here is, you know, we're all here to live our own very particular life on our own particular terms. And if you have one of these interpersonal life themes and you just take it on as your job to rescue everybody all the time, then there's going to be a possibility of missing out on your own life. So, you know, just always a note of caution for those that have the interpersonal life themes, just to be cognizant of that fact that they can be a little bit presumptive sometimes in their overseeing of everybody else's lives.
So let's give our listeners an example, and let's use me because I don't know, you know, our listeners' themes. I have the personal life theme of consciousness, and I note that, you know, there's three or four variations on that dependent on which gate the sun is in. My sun is in gate 35. What does that say about me?
Okay. So, yes, you have a personal life theme, and each of the personal life themes has four variations on that theme. The personal life themes show up four times in a year. So you're born in this life theme that we call consciousness, and it basically means, Sandy, and you'll probably recognize this and know this about yourself, that life is an ongoing exploration, that you're just turning back the leaves of pages in all kinds of different books, all different kind of understandings about life. You're the core, to the source of it all. What's it all about? How does this thing work? And so, in a sense, you have, I might say, mission impossible in a way, that spirit or soul or our consciousness comes into this world. And from my sense, you know, consciousness has a pretty easy time in fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth dimensions. But in 3D, it's not the easiest thing at all. You know, spirit in form, it's not a very easy passage. So you'll see in your quest through this life, you would not have necessarily seen smooth sailing. You'll have seen all kinds of different things, but the part of you that is always watching, that is always a little bit detached from it all, is just recognizing, okay, I am consciousness in human form, and I'm in a position to watch what my life is, how my body goes through things, where it takes me, how I am in these situations, how life relates to me. So it's an open-ended exploration in a sense. Now, the fact that you have your sun in gate 35, which is the gate that we call progress, there's a part of you that's always thinking, okay, but what if, and what about this, and how about something else? Have we ever come to a conclusion? Is there a conclusion to come to? Can I ever say that I completely have understood consciousness? So there's a part of you and that will just constantly be moving you on through your life. There's more. There's always more. And that is an essential part of our life on Earth. And I know this very well about you, Sandy. You know, you're always looking to expand not only your own understanding about things, but you broadcast your own understandings into the lives of thousands of people all over the world as well. So you take people on this journey of consciousness. You know, what is this consciousness thing? How are we supposed to live it?
That's pretty accurate. You include quite a few celebrity life themes in the Book of Destinies. Why did you do that? Is that to give us more examples of how it plays out?
Well, you know, we're always fascinated by other people. And celebrities, yes, they show up in our lives and they're very hard to avoid, and some of us capture our hearts because they're so in tune with the things that we really relate to. So it just felt a sensible thing to put celebrities into the book with their particular life theme. So if you land on one of these life themes in the book and you look at it and it's your life theme, you might be able to associate in some way with those celebrity figures or what you know about their life, that they've gone through the same trials, the same issues, the same understandings, the same delights of life that you have. And I'm not saying we all have to be celebrities, but I'm just saying, you know, everything about the work I do and the work that Carola does is all about empowering people to be absolutely living the best possible life they can. And, you know, my key to that is know your design, know your life theme. And then you'll know exactly, okay, now I can really tune into what's going on here.
Now, you and I had a conversation earlier this year during which you gave me a brief snapshot of Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Donald Trump.
Were you aware at that time of the outcome of the election?
I had a sneaking suspicion of it, but I have to say I was right on the popular vote. You know, to me, I know very well looking into Bernie Sanders' design. The simplest description I can have for Bernie Sanders is he's a magician. He's so inspiring because he's a man that comes from his heart. He's just all heart. And most of us like to qualify our life through our mind, you know, what we think about stuff, good idea, bad idea. And if all of us look deeply enough into that, we're basically referring to things we've been told by other people or things we've read somewhere or other, shared information, collective information. Bernie Sanders is just a straight shooter, and he just comes from the heart. The heart is not split. It's just very, very direct. So it was quite a clear thing that how he appealed to so many people. The difficulty for him was, you know, he's just not terribly practical, not in the way that governmental systems work. Hillary Clinton, in her design, is very much the individual. And that, you know, that's a term I use in looking at her design. We have certain patterns in the design, and she has a very individual design. So an individual is always innovative. They're always bringing in things in a very particular way that's novel. And, you know, in the world, everybody is a little alarmed when something new comes up. We're concerned. We want something traditional.
I'm going to have to hold you there, Jotan, but when we come back after the break, you can tell us about the life path of Mr. Donald Trump. We'll be back in a few moments.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I found a toy dinosaur over on the playground by Smith Street. It had this phone number on it, and, well, I just wanted to make sure the dinosaur made it back to its little owner.
When I found the little sippy cup, I just had to give you a call. It's for a kid, you know?
I know my son gets super attached to the smallest things, even a fire truck, and I'd be happy to drop it off.
We'd do anything for kids, yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. Help end childhood hunger near you. Learn how at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Chetan Parkin, what can you tell us about Donald Trump's life theme?
Well, Donald Trump, you know, I think he's in for a big shock if he hasn't had it already. You know, I look at his design. There's no question he's a very capable person, but he has a lot of trouble seeing past the end of his own nose. And I don't mean that in any way rudely. It's just, you know, he has one of these very particular life themes that is very personal. And, you know, you'll just see that things are not necessarily in his interest. He's not going to give any interest, any energy to it at all. By design, he has a very short attention span. And it's just, you know, it's being made known that he's not attending briefings, he's not getting updates, he's not in tune with experts, he's not looking to get anyone else's advice. He's just doing things his own way. Now, I'm not saying good or bad about that. It's just for the way government is set up, it's very alarming. However, you know, he has a very strong heart. He's got some very good ideas. He's got a mind that can be very clever at organizing stuff. So, I'm fascinated to see what shows up. If I can say, he's going to be the figurehead for the year 2017 and onwards, I would say it's a very good year, good time, and almost an essential time for those that are interested in entrepreneurism and to set up an entrepreneurial business if they don't have one already. I would say this is a very, very good time to do this, because if he's the figurehead for that, somehow or other he's going to lever back the doors on the banks and get them to release the money so people can start using it. That's my subtle view of it all.
What can human design tell us about what's happening in the world? I mean, we really are at a major pivotal point in our history, and I think that there is much to be decided. Our future rests on the decisions that we're making today. So can we use human design to help us here?
Yes, we can, absolutely. If we understand, if we can stand back from life and understand that the only thing that's going on here is love, the only thing that's flying through this universe is love. If we can get ourselves to that basis of understanding, this is the point behind having these experiences, then we find out, okay, so how do I engage more closely with this energy? Well, the absolute first thing you have to do is be in love with yourself. You have to be in love with your own life. You have to not only appreciate yourself and what it is you're doing here, but you have to actually be in love with it. And so the beautiful thing about human design is it shows you exactly what your story is, what's going on for you here. And so it's very easy to move past that thing of disliking aspects about your life or, feelings of inadequacy or anything like that, and recognizing, how your life plays out, what it's all about. And so the beautiful thing then is the moment you kind of really start appreciating and loving your own life and your own way of engaging with life, then you're very well equipped to start loving other people. And it's just once you appreciate your own design, it becomes fascinating to know about, just a few details about other people's designs as well. And it's not a difficult thing. It's all laid out in our books, how to see these things and to appreciate the differences. It was an amazing thing, 50, 60 years ago, NASA took that graph from the moon of this little blue blob in space. We're all on it. We're all on the same boat here. And it's time we learn to get along with each other and contribute our efforts creatively. All this stuff about war and fighting and, we need to get over that and fast.
So how can knowing human design help us make right choices in our life and our career and our relationships?
Well, here is something that separates human design from every other esoteric system right off the bat, is that we have what we call three keys. The first key is what we call type. This is how the energy runs through you and how to use that energy. There are five of these different types. We each have one. And then the second key is what we call authority. And this gives you the key to be the authority in your own life, how you make decisions according to your own nature. And it's there quite clear in the design. There are six of these different authorities. We each have one for our lifetime. So we all probably appreciate times in our life where we've been bamboozled or pushed to make decisions according to somebody else's ideas and the consequences of that, how we never quite feel comfortable with it all. And then we also know those times in our lives where we made a decision on our own bat and it absolutely clicks for us. Well, if you understand your authority and you know how that authority works for you, and it's pretty simple, then you start recognizing every time I can keep on making right decisions. And what happens then is immediately you start getting into this pattern of making right decisions. It has a ripple effect into the lives of everybody around you, that they get encouraged to live in their truth and their right way of making decisions as well. So it's a very, very simple process of finding out what is one's own particular way of making decisions and just practicing it. And, as I say, I've been working with this system now for 20-odd years. I won't say I see miracles. I mean, miracles are around us all the time, but I see people going through massive transformation in their lives, making decisions that are right for them and feeling totally at home and comfortable with them. The thing of it is,
So,
yeah. Go ahead, Sandy.
Go ahead. No, No, please, continue.
Well, I was going to say, you know, in this world, everyone's got all kinds of great advice and great ideas, you know, should do this and should do that. And many people are just totally caught up in rule systems and belief systems. And that's all well and good, provided those rules and beliefs actually tie in with your own design. But the thing of it is, you know, they generally don't. And we're generally very compromised in living out somebody else's ideas of how life's supposed to be. And, I, you know, when I'm considering this, I always go back to a very foundational issue. Nobody knows what life is. Nobody. I don't care where you go, what library you look into, who you ask, nobody knows what life is. So we're all going along in this presumption that we actually do know, and there are certain rules and considerations. And I would say, yes, in the human condition, there are certain things we can do and certain things we can't. But when you understand your design, you're equipped to interact with life in present tense. You don't have to have a reference manual. You just know in that moment in time where you stand with things. So that's the beauty of being your own authority, of being your own decision-making process.
So human design is a really good tool for understanding, well, for parenting, for understanding children, understanding anybody.
Oh, Sandy, yes. I mean, I have to say over the years I've had so much fun reading for parents about their children. Children come into this world, you know, and they, it takes them a little while to take on all the conditioning and get told about everybody else's ideas about life. And, you know, parents are constantly flummoxed. And I think we'd all have to say the children that are coming in these times are very different. And they're not necessarily interested in the things that were going on before. So I would just recommend to every parent, please get your human design chart for your children. Find out who joined you. Find out who landed in your nest. Find out what they're up for. I mean, it may sound a little crazy, Sandy, but my whole thing is that I love to see when a parent and a child can be friends. Of course, you know, there's the age difference and the experience of life difference and there's great advice and all good ideas and stuff. But when I see that a parent and a child are just looking at each other and they're just appreciating each other completely, that to me is the greatest joy. Parents, yes, they have their conditions. Yeah, sorry.
What is your life theme, Chaitan?
My life theme is called explanation. It's the personal life theme of explanation.
Okay. And what about your wife?
My beloved Carola's life theme is called dedication. And dedication is a life theme taken on by somebody who will see things all the way through. She will lead people by the hand if need be to just show them, all right, this is exactly what needs to happen for you. She has one of these interpersonal life themes. I have a personal one. Hers is interpersonal. So she has this aspect of being very responsible in other people's lives, and she just dedicates herself to helping as many people as possible to wake up, to get the message, to find out the truth of their own life.
So I guess having done all of this work, all this research, all these readings, the two of you don't have any arguments or conflicts then?
It's a nice thought, Sandy. We have some very profound discussions, and I'm just delighted to say that. We don't beat about the bush with things. You know, when we need to discuss something, both of us have designs in which we like to express what we conceive in life in very direct ways. We're very direct speakers in that regard. And so when issues come up, as they do in all partnerships, we have some very profound discussions, and I have to say sometimes we absolutely have to disagree and just leave it at that. But doesn't mean to say we're not encompassing as many different viewpoints as possible.
Now, you've done many, many thousands of readings over the years, and you teach human design, you consult, you mentor. Have you ever had a situation where you've done somebody's human design and they have been so shifted by it, that they've completely changed their life, their work, everything.
Oh, we're not just talking about one or two cases here. We're talking about
really?
Hundreds and hundreds of cases. Yeah, yeah. And it's a great thrill. And, you know, if I'm sitting with the person, I can quite often watch it happening. You know, that they all kinds of things just start to click. In a sense, you know, I call myself a glorified piano tuner. I tune people back up to the codings that they gave themselves before they came in here, before all the conditioning started. And, you know, the thing, like anything that gets back in tune with itself, it's miraculous in a way. We've all been led into all kinds of different understandings about life and led away from our own perfect understanding about life. And so the work that Kerala and I do is we tune people back into what they gave themselves. And sometimes it means, you know, unearthing a few roadblocks and stuff and getting things out of the way, complete misconceptions of what they're doing. But it's a fabulous thing to see when somebody just suddenly lights up and they get it and they get what their life story is. It's the most beautiful thing.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Chetan Parkin about human design and how it can help us discover the life we were born to live. Still to come, how you can find out which of the 192 life themes you are living. We'll be back after the break. Don't go away.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Chetan, you know, something occurred to me when you were talking just before the break. If we all come here with a purpose to fulfill, but that knowledge gets buried under the weight of all the conditioning we're subjected to, what on earth did people do to overcome some of that conditioning and fulfill their life purpose before human design, before astrology, before the self-awareness modalities that, you know, we've had access to in recent years, you know, decades, millennia?
Well, it's a good point, Sandy. We might say that not much has been going on for the last 1,000 years or so in terms of consciousness. Every now and again, there's a turning of the age. And in the last turning of the age, there was enlightened figures that came in, Buddha, Mahavira, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Jesus. There were various people that came in that carried this tremendous brightness with them. And being in their company, you know, extraordinary things would happen. But the moment they went off the scene, you know, the moment they left their body and passed away, then I wouldn't say the world was plunged into darkness, but there were, it was very, very difficult to find that thread again of where they'd come from and what they were representing. So we're now in this particular place in time where we would have to recognize there is a huge shift going on the planet. I mean, I don't remember hearing the word consciousness 30 years ago or the word meditation anywhere. And yoga, maybe, you know, acupuncture, all that stuff. It's like there's all these doorways and gateways opening up. And all of these systems, they've been in place in various parts of the world, but they're just now really coming into the public domain, in a sense. So seekers in the past, you know, trying to find out what their life was about, they may have had the fortune to come across a seeress or somebody like that, but I just feel that the life circumstances were so difficult that just a very, very few people could actually devote themselves to embracing their spirituality. You know, church was a one-day-a-week thing, and it still is, in a sense. And, you know, the various religions around the world, they have a one-day-a-week system, you know, with a few little interludes along the way. But there really hasn't been that much of an encouragement to experience one's spirituality. And the further away it's got from the founders, or let's just say the inspirations behind these religions, you know, the more and more distorted the messages all become. So, yeah, I think it's just been very, very difficult for people to access their true nature in times past. And so we have to really celebrate the fact that in this particular time, consciousness and that access to consciousness is expanding rapidly. And we should embrace it and really appreciate it and enjoy it and celebrate the fact that we're entering into this age now, this Aquarian age, which the figure of the Aquarian age is two waves, one above and one below. And so it's basically saying, what, you know, whatever your spiritual aspirations are, have to be lived out in the earth plane as well. So we're bringing heaven to earth. You know, that's the whole energy of the Aquarian age. That's where we're going into. I mean, we've just cracked the door open to go in there, and we've really got to keep our foot in the door and to kind of make sure we don't destroy ourselves by people that are very fixed to the old ways and the old systems and stuff. That, you know, embracing love in our lives, embracing that connection, that is what's going to see us through here. So, yeah, it's a very, very exciting time. We've all waited for this time. We've come for this time deliberately.
You know, modalities like astrology, numerology, other things have been around for many millennia. As you said, human design is something that's relatively new and definitely a 21st century modality. Do you believe that it was given to us now because we are ready for it?
It has to be seen in those ways, yes. The person who was given human design came to the conclusion that it had come to Earth for two very particular reasons. One, it was for children, that children need to be appreciated. They're pure forms of consciousness. They have as much right to life as anybody else. And I'm talking, you know, children that are out in the world here, the ones that are growing up in the world, you know, where we can actually see their design and what they're about. The other reason he construed that human design came in was for us to understand about our emotions. Within the human design chart, there is a center that is the emotion center, the solar plexus center. And the solar plexus, the emotions, are always moving through wave patterns. And there are all kinds of different wave patterns, but generally the wave goes up where everything's great, and then the emotional wave goes down where everything's not so great. And so part of the human experience is to embrace emotion. The difficulty is, if we don't embrace emotion, if we find fault with it, then, you know, we get stuck on this idea, well, I have to stay up. I'm not allowed to go down. I won't let myself go down. If I go down, I'm going to have a miserable time of it. I'm going to make everyone else's life miserable, too. So what we construe from the emotion center is that it's the center of war. It's the center of domestic violence. It's the center of all kinds of autoimmune diseases. It's the center of depression. It's the center of addictions. So there's all these things tied into the emotion. And the thing of it is, if you understand human design, if you understand your design, you will see right away how these particular aspects of life can affect you. And once you understand that and you see, okay, if I embrace my emotional nature, and if I embrace the emotional nature of the world as a whole, and I can see these things through an understanding of human design, then all of a sudden all these flashpoints disappear. They start coming into context, that I start finding ways of getting on with the world and getting on with other people and finding that friendship and finding that love in the world. And stop feeling so distressed that, you know, it's fine to have a wave that goes up and then a wave that goes down. It's fine to feel down. Because when you're down in a wave, you can be extraordinarily creative, if you remember to be so. Because you're accessing deep parts of your own nature. It's just, you know, there's a whole different perspective of it. So, yes, though I would agree with his reckoning. The human design came for, particularly for children, but also for us to all understand about the nature of emotion.
So how can our listeners discover their own design and their life theme?
Well, here's the thing. It's very easy. Go on our website. The website is called Human Design for Us All. It's all spelled out. It's a long web address. Sorry about that. Human Design for Us All. HumanDesignForUsAll.com. And on the website, you'll find probably the first thing that confronts you. You can download a free report. It's all about you. You can also see at the top of the page, there's a button there. You can click on that button. You can find out exactly what your life theme is for this lifetime. And the books, there are these three books. I would definitely recommend getting the first and third books, the Human Design book, Discover the Person You Were Born to Be, and definitely recommend getting the new one we just literally released, the Book of Destinies, Discover the Life You Were Born to Live, and have a read, have a look. See what it is that goes on there, and be prepared to be delightfully surprised, because when you recognize those aspects of your nature that are in line with you, you know, just it's just a wonderful experience. Of course, we also do personal readings for people. I do personal readings, partnership readings. My beloved wife, Carola, does also life path readings with people. We take people wherever they want to go, but deeply into their own life and reflect these vital issues back to people. So it's our great delight to do that. And all of these things are accessible through our website.
This is the final book in this trilogy. Presumably, you don't plan to write any more books on human design. I don't know what else there might be to say. But if you are an explainer, where does that leave you? What are you going to explain for the rest of your life?
Oh, don't you worry, Sandy, there's more. It's a trilogy. What do they call a four-book series? I don't know, but there's definitely more books in the works. So,
a quartet.
Yes. Quartet, there we go. And then there might be a quintet after that. So, yes, Carola and I actually were going to be spending time on the quartet version in the new year. So stay tuned.
Ah,
it's going to be fun.
Okay. Now, you're also releasing an app soon. What will we be able to do with that app?
Oh, goodness. This is like, you know, I've never myself had children, but this is for me like having a baby. The app will basically, it'll be on your iPhone or your Android phone, and you'll be able to, wherever you are, draw up charts. You'll be able to look into those charts. You'll be able to derive all the keys from the chart. It'll all be there on the app. So just a delightful little device, very colorful, very bright, fun to play with. And you'll find it'll just be a wonderful conversation piece, or, you know, something that will really help you up your life and the lives of all people around you. A lot of fun.
And you're also launching a Human Design Coaching Academy in the fall next year. Is that purely for people who wish to become human design practitioners?
It's mostly tailored towards coaches or people that want to be coaches. And we're approaching it from three different directions. The coaching side of things, you know, how to be a coach and what's involved in that. How to be successful in business, you know, the whole business practice of how you set up a coaching practice. And the backdrop of it all will be human design. So we're going to be training everybody in the aspects of human design that we can see will be really beneficial for coaches. So the coaches not only understand their own designs, but they understand the designs of their clients. And what we personally have found from this is once you understand who you're working with, you can coach them at light speed. You can coach them in an incredibly fast way in which they just really understand what they're about. So it reshapes the whole idea of education in a way, of teaching people according to their own abilities.
Chetan Parkin, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, delightful, Sandy, always. Lots of love.
Thank you. Bye-bye. The Book of Destiny is Discover the Life You Were Born to Live, published by New World Library and available in bookstores and on Amazon. And the website, again, is humandesignforusall.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I hope you'll join me next week for another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me.